Hey everybody, we are back this week. It is the Dynamite Sports Podcast. I'm Dad and I'm here with my three kids, Tyler, Noah, and Trey. Together they are Dynamite. And we're here to talk about sports and what's going on in the sports world. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing all right.
All right, we got Ty.
I'm not doing good.
What's wrong, Trey?
The Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
I know, Trey had the Niners. We're going to get to our Super Bowl breakdown in a little bit. Ty is live in the house. He's not coming in via cell phone.
Hey, guys.
He's in town for the President's Day weekend, so we're glad to have him here in the flesh. Yesterday, Trey and Noah and I attended the Cam Newton 7-on-7 Tampa tournament, which was hosted at Largo High School. And so, guys, you had a couple brushes with fame. What did you think of the 7-on-7 tournament?
I thought it was pretty interesting. Different rules than I'm used to, but it was pretty cool to see a former NFL player, and now, as I'm seeing, a potential Hall of Famer. It's a pretty cool experience, though.
Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry.
$5.
I'm so sorry.
Go get that wallet, buddy.
No.
Bless you, Trey.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it was cool to see all of this community come together to play some football.
I got to shake hands with Cam Newton, and I don't think that's hit me yet. I don't think I'll ever probably meet another player on that level, so this is kind of big. We also met Leonard Johnson, so that's also cool. I don't remember Leonard Johnson because, I'm sorry, I didn't watch football until about 2016. So, yeah.
Leonard was a cool guy. It was his idea to bring it to Largo High School, where he is an alumni and a Hall of Famer for being a football player there at Largo High School. He did play for the Buccaneers, and then later on he played for the Panthers with Cam. And so they brought that event here, and so it was nice to have a little brush with fame. Also some great talent out there. The kids out there, there were some younger kids in the morning, older kids started playing in the afternoon. It was some really good football.
Yeah. I saw a 12-year-old throw a 40-yard bomb, and I'm sad that I can't do that. I want to throw 40 yards effortlessly, just like,
dude. Those quarterbacks were throwing really good, though.
I know,
and they're throwing dimes.
And it was nice to have the brushes with fame. As I said, Cam Newton certainly knows how to make an entrance, does he not?
Oh, he jumped over a fence, and then it's 10 minutes before his first game. He jumps over a fence and then just stands there.
Yeah, he arrived in style, and he is quite a presence at 6'5", but then he had that hat as well. Which,
God, he must have been like 7'1" with that hat.
Yeah, like, it said like 4th and Cam, and it also had like a feather in it, and I'm like, dude, that's awesome. I cop it?
Certainly knows how to be stylish. So it was a good time. It was very wet. If you're watching the weather at all, the whole eastern seaboard pretty much is underwater the whole weekend. So it was a rough weekend for weather, and we spent a lot of time inside. But we had a lot of time to think about the Super Bowl from last Sunday. We gave our picks. The Chiefs defeated the Niners. Trey is sad about it. And Tyler and Noah are happy about it because, well, at least they picked the Chiefs. And so they were correct in our picks. In fact, Noah got the closest with score as well. Noah said 27-24. The Chiefs prevailed in overtime 25-22. Noah's fist pumping over there. And Noah, you also had some other news about the score, right?
Oh, yeah. I won that beautiful pot in the Super Bowl squares.
So Noah won the Super Bowl squares as well, our family Super Bowl squares from our Super Bowl party. So Noah double wins with the Super Bowl. But what I was impressed with, guys, is watching the Super Bowl that weekend, our podcast last week, we talked about the keys to the game, and almost everybody's keys came through. Trey had the very unusual, we use it as the title of the podcast, the very unusual choice of talking about the ball versus the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs receivers. And that almost ended up being a difference in the Niners' favor at one point in the game.
Yeah, if Mecole Hardman drops that, it's a totally different game.
But not only that, there were a lot of drops in the game, and there were some key drops. And looking back, thinking, wow, that could be a difference maker. Look at Trey. There were a lot of fumbles as well in the game. So
Christian McCaffrey fumbles that ball on the opening drive of the game.
Yeah. Did you guys see that? Like, George Kittle was like being a goofball, and like was like, "Oh hey, what's up?" After the play was over, But the play wasn't over because CMC fumbled, and he was, like, right next to the ball. He was, like, a yard from the ball.
It's not surprising.
Like, hey, what's up? Oh, wait. The ball's right there.
That's what CTE does to people.
So ball versus hands was a key. It didn't end up being the difference for the Chiefs. My key to the game was actually the Chiefs linebackers against Kyle Shanahan. I talked about how Shanahan does a lot with moving people in space and moving around his backs and receivers and creating mismatches in the game. And Leo Chenal from the Chiefs linebacker graded out the highest grade. It was a 92. And he was a difference maker in the game for the Chiefs against the Niners as they prevailed. Ty also wanted to take a victory lap. Ty, talk about yours.
I believe last week I said that the game would come down to the final 2 minutes, and the game went to overtime. It actually went to like the final 9 seconds of an overtime period.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel pretty great about that.
Yeah. And Noah's key was about the front seven, the offensive and defensive lines. And that ended up being one, too.
I mean, every Super Bowl, you're going to see holding that does not get called. Because for some reason, the refs just say, let him hold. It's fine. And the Chiefs' offensive line will always hold. Especially those two tackles.
Especially our favorite hugger, Donovan Smith here, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He was a notorious holder there at the end. And so that could have been a difference. But another big difference in a lot of what's being talked about in the aftermath of the Super Bowl is the coaching decision of Kyle Shanahan going into overtime and whether or not he should have taken the ball or not and whether or not he was assuming there would be a third possession. So, guys, let's go around the table. How do you feel about Shanahan's decision to take the ball and be aggressive in overtime?
I actually feel really weird about the end of this game in general. The Kansas City Chiefs neglect to use their final two timeouts. They run the clock. They run the ball all the way down the field, but they let the clock run out all the way till there's 6 seconds left to kick a field goal. When they could have just gone for the touchdown, they could have thrown the ball three times to Travis Kelce and let him be the hero. That doesn't happen. And then I'm also very confused as to why Shanahan didn't take the ball. He assumed that there would be a third possession, but as we know, Andy Reid now in the postgame has said that even if they had scored the touchdown, they would have gone for two to take the win. So I think that Shanahan really loses a step there. I think he cost them the Super Bowl, quite honestly, because they were right there in it. But I also think he got them to the Super Bowl, and I think that that should be admired as well.
I think that what Brock Purdy has done should be admired. Like, they're saying he's like terrible. You know, he's a game manager, blah, blah, blah. He was like the 262nd draft pick, the last one. That's only been done to get to the Super Bowl by a kicker by the name of Ryan Succop, former Buccaneer. And I don't know. I feel like he should get more praise. And also, I don't know how, as a football coach, like an NFL coach professionally, you don't know the rules. That's confusing to me. And also, I would like to comment on the defense of that last drive in the overtime. They had so many opportunities on like a third down, and they just like let them by. Just like, here you go. Just
ole.
I mean, play calling wise for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, that was just an absolute masterclass. Mahomes is unstoppable on his feet in the open field. You saw him split the tackles three times in a row on that final drive to get him into the end zone. And I think it's fair to say that that defense was absolutely exhausted. They gave their heart for four periods, and it wasn't enough. So
I'd just like to point out, Shanahan did have a point, though, in the fact that he wanted the ball third. He wanted to have it game on the line, like the situation where he is the last person to get that ball, and he's the last chance for them to win. Because he didn't want Patrick Mahomes to get the last drive, you know what I mean? And it ended up Patrick Mahomes did, but he did have some sort of logic. He did know the rules at that point to some degree.
Yep, and I mean, I find it kind of absurd to think that Shanahan didn't know the rules. He's an outstanding coach. He definitely knows how to manipulate the game for his offense in favor of the way the defenses play him. So I can't imagine he didn't know the rules. I just think he kind of thought too hard about this and outsmarted himself. The team thinks we're going to zig, so let's zag. But let's not zag because they think we're going to zag because we think they're going to zig. So let's zig. And I just think that he kind of outsmarted himself and kind of you know, went a little too far with his decision, thinking too far, and not just letting the game come to them. I can see kind of the positives of wanting to take the ball. Also realize the Chiefs defense had been on the field for a while, and you're going to put them back on the defense on the field. So I can see it. I think the argument that Shanahan didn't know the rules is a little absurd. The other big headline coming out of the Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes really starting to cement his legacy in the NFL, his standing amongst the great quarterbacks. And of course, you know, he's still early in his career. He's not yet 30, but he's already done a lot of things. Let's start it with Noah. Noah, how do you feel about Patrick Mahomes' legacy at this point in his career?
I wouldn't go as far as some people would say he's the GOAT, and he's not yet. I think that by the end of this decade, he'll have 5 championships. But I also think that he's not the GOAT yet. As Tom Brady said, he will succeed it if he has 7 championships like him. That, yes, he'd be the GOAT. But he's also a 28-year-old guy. He's not really to that point where he's at the GOAT conversation. He's a good player, I'll say that. He's a really good player. He has a chance, I'll say that. He has a chance to reach that GOAT conversation.
I think that he is a very good player. I respect him. I just don't like the successes he's having as Tom Brady. Like, live long enough to see yourself become the villain or die the hero. Famous words by Harvey Dent. But if you don't get that reference, I'm sorry. You need to be more cultured.
Yeah, more cultured by watching Batman movies.
Well, that, whatever. What was I going to say? I lost track. But he's not the GOAT because Tom Brady has 7 rings. There we go. And also, like, way more passing yards. He's not the GOAT.
To illustrate my feelings, I actually have a player A and player B. You guys are going to have to pick a player here. Player B, for the career, 67% completion percentage, 28,000 passing yards, 63 interceptions, and quite a few touchdowns with 219. Also, 3 rings, 6 Pro Bowls, 3 All-Pros, 2 MVPs, a Player of the Year, and 3 Super Bowl MVPs. All right, that's Player A. Player B has about 61,000 passing yards, about 430 touchdowns, and quite a few more interceptions, but also 4 championships, 9 Pro Bowls, 3 All-Pros, 1 AP MVP, 1 Player of the Year, and 2 Super Bowl MVPs. Which player are you going to take?
I'm going to take Player B because while I don't like the interceptions, I like all of the like MVPs, all of the Super Bowls. I do like that.
Everybody else?
I agree. I think it's Player B is my guy.
Yeah, I think anybody would take Player B, and but Player A does kind of sound like Patrick Mahomes to me.
Player A is Patrick Mahomes.
Player B is the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Just proves my point.
Well, okay. So let's look at them. You're trying to call Patrick Mahomes the GOAT, and Brady is the GOAT. Patrick Mahomes is 28. Brady played to 45. So he played 17 more seasons than Patrick Mahomes. So if Patrick Mahomes plays 17 more seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fair to say. But will he play 17 more seasons? We've never seen somebody be that great for that long. We saw Ben Roethlisberger's arm fall off in Pittsburgh. We saw Philip Rivers lose both of his knees. Like,
he's certainly on a great
pace. Longevity is incredibly rare in sports.
He's certainly on that pace currently. So we'll see how he holds up. A lot has also been made about Patrick Mahomes' physique because he has been partying with his shirt off. So,
dad bod.
Kind of looks like Brady at the combine, man. Actually.
It reminds me of those pictures of Brock Purdy partying after the national championship.
You mean, wait, not Brock Purdy.
Not Brock Purdy.
Oh. Mac Jones. I got my white quarterbacks mixed up. I apologize.
I loved
$5.
My favorite thing about those pictures was when they were comparing him to Cam Newton and saying, this guy got cut for this guy.
It's true. Yeah.
So we also, of course, Super Bowl has a lot of things around it. We talked about snacks. We talked about the commercials. And so I wanted to know if you guys had any commercials that stood out to you, any faves.
Team U had 4 commercials.
I said favorite commercials.
They had 4 commercials costing $15 million each. And they're like particularly known for like selling your information on the black market. I just think that's very funny.
Also the world learned that it's actually pronounced Temu, apparently.
No, it's not. Get out of here.
Well, it's their commercial, that's the way they said it.
it's like GIF and JIF, you know, like it's not JIF, okay? That's a peanut butter, and I'm allergic to that. Okay. It is GIF, okay? But like why are you spending that so much money on that commercial? And it wasn't like a legendary commercial either. It was just like, shop like a billionaire. That was literally the whole thing.
It was an identical commercial every time.
It was exactly the same. I felt like it was the regular season.
Oh my God. They spent at least $28 million on that. There were at least 4 of them, because it was $7 million for a Super Bowl commercial.
So let's talk about our favorite ones now.
Yeah, I thought that was my question. Sorry. Was the favorite
commercial. I think I got my new favorite.
It was the White Savior Complex Jesus Washing Feet with the police officer and the drunk mother. They were all AI generated. I think that's my favorite one.
No. My favorite one, personally, was the Scientology one.
Please be careful, Trey. I care about you. Sorry. Be careful. They're going to get you.
They're just 30 minutes up the road, so we got to be careful.
Okay, I'm so sorry. No, my favorite one was the couch potato one, where it was like Pluto TV, and they were like growing potatoes, but it was couch potatoes. That one was good. I like that one.
I mean, I'm a Beyonce fan for life. That was outstanding. And then her, like, literally tweeting out during the commercial that she had a new album out. Queen.
I mean, I think I like the ironic one where it was right after Usher performed and it was like, they're all forgetting stuff. And he's like, you know, I really want to perform in a Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, yeah, Usher was in that commercial. Yeah.
And then also, like, the Friends people, and they're like, really? We worked together for 10 years? I think I'd remember someone. I'm over here like crying right now because they don't remember each other.
Well, one of the most popular commercials that's being named as a favorite was the Dunkin's commercial with Ben Affleck. I deliberately try to not take a bathroom break during commercials at the Super Bowl. I'd rather take it during game action. But I took a bathroom break during that commercial break, and I come back. Everyone in the room is talking about the commercial. Everyone on Twitter is talking about the commercial, and I didn't see the commercial. So
yeah, that one plays on repeat at the Dunkin' Donuts on campus. I stood there watching it about 800 times in a 20-minute span while I waited for my chorizo wrap.
No, it's the same thing at every Dunkin' Donuts. We went to one like yesterday.
It's not Dunkin' Donuts. It's just Dunkin'.
Oh, yeah, Dunkin'. I forgot. My bad.
God.
That was a good commercial, though.
And those chorizo wraps are fire.
They're so good.
All right, so flipping the script, this weekend is the All-Star Game. And actually, as we're recording, the All-Star Game is going on, the NBA All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend. 104 points in the first half, I think, is what we got so far.
It was 104 to 89, and it's currently 122 to 97.
So breaking news update for this this podcast that you're probably not hearing. You'll know the score already, the final score at the when you're listening to this. But we're going to give you play-by-play. Tyler will, anyway. Halliburton is on fire in Indiana.
It's crazy. Paul Pierce thinks there's no defense being played in the NBA. You should watch the All-Star Game.
In honor of All-Star Weekend, Noah's got some All-Stars that he wants to talk about.
So we're going to blindly rank 5 NBA All-Stars their all-time scoring points.
Okay.
First up, Trae Young.
So we're ranking him by his career high?
His career points total.
You're going to give us five names to rank?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yep, so let's rattle them off.
So this is
No, it's blindly.
We got to rank him 1 through 5 before hearing the next name.
Oh, I guess that's why you call it a blind ranking.
Yeah. Because you put some guy number... You could put some guy number one, and then you say Michael Jordan. It's like...
Jeez.
This is really complicated.
All current NBA All-Stars. Okay, so
Trae Young's been in the league 6 years. He scores roughly 30 points a game for his whole career. We will put him...
4?
I'd say 2.
Mm, really?
I don't know who else is going to be here. You could put like LeBron and Steph. Go 4.
I like 4, right. Yeah.
I'm going to say 5.
Okay. So you guys have got 4 and he's got 5. Next up, I've got the one and only... His name is Dame Time. Damian Lillard.
See?
3, I think.
I'm going to go... I can't decide between 2 or 3.
I know there are at least 2 guys in the NBA that have scored more. I know he's going to put LeBron and Steph in here, like probably like 4th and 5th.
I like 3 as well. I'll take 3. I'm not copying off of Tyler. I just like the picks.
Well, then to not copy, I'll say 4.
Next up, Jokic.
I feel like Jokic hasn't... I mean, he's been in the league for 8 years now. Oh, we can't put him below Trae Young because we know he scored more than Trae Young.
But you can't put him above Dame Time, can you?
Lillard's been around longer than Jokic.
Oh, yeah. Lillard's been around since, like, 2013, 2012, maybe.
I don't like putting him at 5, but I'm going to put him at 5.
Well, I wish I could put him at 4 or 5, but I've already used 4 or 5.
Right, exactly.
Can I use them again or no? I guess I got to use...
I'm going to put him at 5 because I know 1 and 2 are going to have more.
Ready?
Okay.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I'll put him at 2.
2.
LeBron James.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. I stole your punchline. I'm sorry.
So, what is the all-time ranking?
So, the true ranking is number 1, LeBron, obviously. Number 2 is Damian Lillard.
Wow.
Number 3 is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
Number 4 is Jokic. And number 5 is Trae Young.
Wow. All
right. I was actually pretty close, and I didn't even know what I was doing. So, all right, and in honor of All-Star Weekend, Tyler's got a really difficult trivia question, I think, that he wants to lay on us, and we'll see how we can do this.
Yeah, I don't know how many of these you guys are going to get. These are NBA players in their rookie season ranked by blocks per game. This is top 10, but there are like 4 guys tied for 9, so this is really a top 12.
Blocks per game, a top 12, all
right. As a rookie, right?
Does it include Victor Wembanyama?
Victor Wembanyama is 6th on this list with 3.2.
Yeah, I figured he'd be there.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe Mutombo is number 7 with 3.
Nice. That should have gone on my name Hall of Fame. I might put him there.
Yeah. Manute Bol.
Manute Bol was number 1 with 5 blocks.
I think he'd be at the top. Yeah. Yeah. You guys are doing a good job with the old names. That's usually where I fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Sean Bradley on the list.
Sean Bradley is tied for 7th with Dikembe Mutombo with 3.
Anthony Davis, maybe? Did he sneak in there?
Anthony Davis is not here.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What was that one guy's name? He was in John Wick 3. I can't remember his name, actually.
He is not here.
Okay. Bogdanovich or something?
Not Bogdanovich, no. Different Eastern European. Shaq is tied for 3rd with 3.5.
Okay.
You're thinking of Boban Marjanovic.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Nice cameo in John Wick.
Nice subreddit. r/Boban holding things. I might want to give it a try. He's got the largest hands I think I've ever seen. He literally looks like a Slenderman.
Kawhi might have bigger hands.
No, he's got bigger hands than Kawhi, I guarantee it.
How about Dwight Howard?
Dwight Howard does not make this list.
Okay.
Oh.
Just think of a tall dude. Obi Toppin?
Nope.
Okay. No, Obi Toppin, that's all.
He's a jumper.
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing does not make this list either.
Wow, did Giannis make this?
Giannis did not make this list. These are all 90s guys.
Oh,
and 80s guys even.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we should
be my wheelhouse. On the towel?
I mean, I can start rattling off centers. How about Mark Eaton?
Mark Eaton is 5th with 3.4.
Yeah.
Elite.
Oh, is Wilt Chamberlain on there?
Wilt Chamberlain is not on this list.
I don't think they track
blocks until like 1983.
How about Rick Smits?
Rick Smits is not here, but there are a couple names that remind me of Rick Smits in here.
Mm-hmm. Chamberlain would probably hold the record for blocks if they tracked it.
Probably. I mean, there's a story that he dunked a ball so hard one time that the ball broke the guy's foot on the other end.
Oh, my God.
So, probably. Mm. They had to make that rule that it's out of bounds if it touches the top of the backboard, because apparently he was the only person that could reach the ball on the top of the backboard. I mean, I could go all
he was a different
somebody's
animal.
Somebody's got to be fake, but...
100 points in a game. Don't believe it.
I believe
whatever.
It. Are you kidding me?
He oh, my gosh.
He Trey. Averaged 50 for a season.
Wait, he did?
Yeah.
I 100% believe
it. He had, like,
it.
5 games in his career where he touched 70. He absolutely touched 100.
He also, like, averaged 20 rebounds in his career.
Yeah, for the career. There was a season... Yeah, the year he averaged 50 points a game, he lost the MVP vote.
How?
To who? Because everyone loved Bill Russell, I guess.
How about Sean Kemp?
Sean Kemp is not here.
Okay. What about Alonzo Mourning?
Alonzo Mourning is tied for third.
Okay.
3.5.
Would I know any of these guys?
Probably as soon as I say them.
Oh, God.
It's yeah. Like, oh, I know that guy.
You guys ready?
David Robinson.
David Robinson is second with 3.9.
I'm going to say a current name, and it's probably wrong. Nick Claxton doesn't
no.
sneak in there.
How about Giannis?
Minutes.
We already said Giannis.
Giannis is not no, here. No, you guys not. Are actually just missing all four of the guys tied for ninth.
Oh, okay. So we've done. We've cleaned up the top of it at least.
Yeah.
All right. We'll fill us in with the bottom.
All right. Tied for ninth with 2.7. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, should have known that one. The Dream.
Bill Walton.
Oh.
Sam Bowie.
No. Nope.
Tree Rollins.
Oh, Sam Bowie. You should.
Tree
know.
Rollins.
Tree Rollins. Tree Rollins. A great name.
No, he was so good.
there was a guy named after a tree.
So fun fact. You know where Michael Jordan was picked in the draft?
No idea.
Third.
You know who the first pick in the draft was?
Tree Rollins.
Sam Bowie.
Who number two is
Clyde the Glide Drexler.
Yeah. Okay, how do you spell Tree Rollins?
Tree.
Is it? I thought it would be like some weird spelling.
No,
maybe.
I mean, he has another first name, but it never appeared on base on his basketball cards. So
it's the same way they all call him just Fat Lever. Nobody calls him Lafayette.
All right. So, last night was the All-Star, like, skills competitions, and one of the things they had, of course, is a staple, is the three-point competition. So, how do we rank the three-point competition? What were any takeaways from that?
I mean, I was a little disappointed. If Steph had played in it, he would have won, obviously.
Yeah.
No contest.
Really, I think they should just, like, illegalize Steph from the three-point competition, because he's just going to win. Like,
I like the idea... I think you had last night, or maybe you read it off of Twitter, where they just bring back old shooters, bring back Kyle Korver, see what he does.
Have Reggie Miller step out of the broadcast booth in his...
In his suit.
And
in the leather shoes.
Yeah.
I bet he could put up 25.
Easy. All right. So then they had a little addendum to the three-point competition, and your presumed champion, Steph Curry, took on Sabrina Ionescu. And a head-to-head male-female kind of thing, and that was a pretty cool competition.
I mean, she did really well.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are hating on it on the internet. It was really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the NBA is worried about.
They need to put Larry Bird in that competition, because he'll beat all of them.
Probably.
Oh, she needed to use the male ball.
No, she didn't. No. Not for it to be fun.
She grew up using that
She grew
other
up using
ball.
The women's like, ball. Steph grew up using the men's ball. If you had him use the women's ball, he would lose.
Yeah.
So that was a fun side conversation. Of course, yes, it's generated a lot of conversation. But what generated the most conversation in our household last night and was the slam dunk competition and the judging of the slam dunk competition.
Good Lord have mercy.
Why is Gary Payton judging a dunk competition?
Oh my God.
I don't think he dunked once in his career. I really don't.
Okay. Why did Jaylen Brown get almost a 50 for jumping over a man who's not even 6 foot? Not
five
even.
5 foot three.
And it, he's 5 foot three.
And he was sitting down.
Hold on. He's 5 foot three.
And then on top of that,
Jaime Hawkins Jr. jumps over the one and only Shaq. And gets such a less score than him. Like, what?
I think people are just tired of seeing NBA players jump over Shaq. I feel like it happens every year. I wonder if Shaq is tired of it.
Hold on. But Mac McClung did it for the final one.
That's true. McClung also got rated higher for not double clutching his dunk. I thought that was really weird. It was the same dunk except he didn't double clutch.
Well, I honestly think that all of those old timers, I don't think any of them saw him double clutch the ball.
I don't think they could see the rim, Dad.
I don't think they could see the glove on Jaylen Brown's hand.
Well, that's true.
I thought that was a Michael Jackson tribute, but now that we're talking about it, I'm wondering if that was his way of calling out Gary Payton. Because he did Dominique's dunk. He was like trying to like do all these callbacks, and I'm wondering if him wearing the glove was a reference to Payton.
Or the reference to the fact that he can't use his left hand. I mean,
that,
come on.
That is true. And also, he tried to do a callback to the famous D. Brown dunk. Where D. Brown covered his face with his arm, except he waited until he landed to cover his face, and they still gave him a great score.
He just looked like Colin Kaepernick.
He looked like he dabbed.
Yeah. It was legitimately like probably the most boring dunk competition I've ever watched. Who is Jacob Toppin? Who is that?
I think that actually the crappy judging actually made it super interesting and generated conversation on social media. It was almost like that was the plan.
I had to walk away because I was so angry about it.
After the first round, I was gone. You guys didn't see me for the rest of the competition.
I mean, we have a G Leaguer. We have a guy who's going to finish third in Rookie of the Year voting.
We Jacob Toppin.
An NBA generated 2K player. And we have a guy that is the first All-Star to actually compete in the dunk competition since, like, Zach LaVine.
No, since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine at the same time.
I mean, Jaylen Brown doesn't even dunk. He had, like, one dunk.
I don't think of him for dunking. He's not the slasher in his duo.
He's not
even the best dunker on his team.
Yeah, he had like one good dunk the whole year, and it's like, oh, dunk competition. Okay.
I think that the dunk contest is just going to be ruined for us because of the 2016 dunk contest. Like, nothing's ever going to live up to that. Oh, my God.
No, stuff the Magic Dragon spinning NBA. on a hoverboard with... Yeah, that was...
Nobody in the NBA is creative enough anymore.
Oh, my God.
I think they just need to start letting the street dunkers do it.
And then the year after that, my favorite dunk, actually, I think now... is the one where Aaron, he was trying to do it, he didn't get to. He was flying a drone in. He uses the drone controller and he drops the ball.
That was weird.
And then he tries to dunk it.
I think everyone says that Aaron Gordon got robbed in that dunk contest, but we forget that Zach LaVine was going between his legs and doing East Bays from the free throw line. I think that you kind of lose your entire argument when he's jumping from the free throw line for every dunk.
Yeah, but it is sad going back. I mean, Mac McClung definitely deserved to win, but Mac McClung was representing the Osceola Magic, which is not an NBA team.
And they just moved to Osceola County, didn't they?
So, the dunk contest needs the star power. The dunk contest, when I was growing up, had Jordan, had Dominique Wilkins, had Clyde Drexler, had the big stars in it. And so you came to watch the big stars and see what they want to do. But I think now the big stars are afraid of like embarrassing themselves. But I mean, we need a dunk contest. We need Giannis. I'd like to see what Wemby can do. He can practice. I mean, the guy can touch the rim from standing anyway. So imagine how high he could jump and what kind of crazy things he could do.
Oh my God. If Wembanyama was in the dunk contest, I think that they would just like cancel the NBA. I think it would be over. They're just like, yeah, this guy's gonna be the GOAT. Let's just stop.
Yeah, it would break the NBA. And can we also talk about how the judges graded the players based on whether they did it on their first attempt or their second attempt?
Yeah, that was lame.
What a load of crap.
But they did that for everyone except for Jaylen Brown.
True.
Because Jaylen Brown did his dunk twice, and he got a higher grade than he should have.
Yeah, yeah. He got every pass. Okay, and also, one of the cool things that I liked about Jaylen Brown wasn't actually about Jaylen Brown, but on one of his dunks, that court was really cool. It kept changing colors and patterns and all kinds of stuff. And when he dunked on one of them, they actually made the floor the Boston parquet floor, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I don't think Indiana Pacers fans really liked that much.
No, they didn't. But, well, or was it the judging? I think that was one of the things Noah said, and I think they were booing the judging instead of the floor.
Yeah,
but
they were 100% booing the judging.
Like, can we get some actual dunkers on the... I guess Dominique was on there. But, like, can we get some not Gary Payton types?
Can we get, like, Michael Jordan or something?
Can we get
some young people?
Can we get someone under the age of 30?
Yeah.
That would be good.
Or under the age of 60, even. Like,
put LeBron on there. Like, he'll be able to see it, at least.
So that's all we've got for this week. We will be back next week with more from the sports world. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.